The Pit and the Pendulum. I was sick. Sick to death with that long agony. When they untied me at last, and I was permitted to sit, I thought I was going to faint. Members of the Inquisition were all around me in the courtroom when they sentenced me to death. After that, I understood nothing. Death. The word repeated itself again and again in my head. The voices of my tormentors lost all meaning for me. Then I heard nothing at all. I could still see, though everything was strange and exaggerated. The lips of the black-robed judges looked white, whiter than the paper I'm writing on now. Their lips were thin and grotesque as they pronounced my fate. Though I could not hear what the judges were saying, the words echoed. Death. I saw those lips form the syllables of my name, and I trembled with fear. For a few moments of delirious horror, I thought the candles on the table looked like thin, white angels who were there to save me. Suddenly, something icy cold took hold of my spirit, and I felt every fibre in my body vibrate. The idea crept into my mind that there would be sweet rest in the grave. Darkness surrounded me, followed by silence and stillness. Very suddenly, motion and sound came back to me. I could hear my own heartbeat. Sound, motion, and touch. Then the consciousness of existence. My mind knew I was alive. Then I felt the terror as I tried to understand what I was and where I was. I could move. Everything came back to me, but I wanted to be able to forget again. I remembered the trial, the judges, the sentence, and the darkness as I fainted. So far, I had not opened my eyes. I knew that I was lying, untied, on my back. I put out my hand, and it fell heavily onto something damp and hard. I tried to imagine where I could be. I wanted to look around me, but the idea frightened me so much that I kept my eyes closed. I was not as scared of seeing something terrible as I was that perhaps there was nothing at all to see. Finally, I opened my eyes, and my worst thoughts were confirmed. The blackness of eternal night was all around me. I tried desperately to breathe and not to panic. I lay quietly and made an effort to think. I remembered the torture and the Inquisition. I only needed to discover what had happened since then. Where was I? When someone is condemned to death, the execution is usually at the auto da fe, and one of these had taken place on the night of my trial. For some reason, they had chosen not to kill me. Maybe they wanted to wait for the next sacrifice, which would be in 3 months' time. But that was impossible. They wanted victims now. Anyway, if that were the case, I would be in a condemned cell. All of the condemned cells in Toledo had some light. Not like here. Suddenly, I had a terrible idea. My blood raced. I fainted again. When I woke, I stood up. I was trembling all over. I waved my arms in every direction. I felt nothing, and at first did not have the courage to move in case I found the walls of my tomb. Eventually, the suspense proved too much for me, and I started to move forward. I walked very slowly, my arms in front of me. My eyes desperately tried to find the smallest ray of light. I walked 3, 4, 5, 10 paces. Everything was dark and empty. I stopped trembling. At least they had not buried me alive. There were 1,000 vague rumors about the horrors of Toledo. I knew that my destiny was a terrible death. Of that I had no doubt. But when and how would I die? My outstretched hands finally found something solid, a very smooth, cold stone wall. In order to establish the dimensions of my dungeon, I tore off the bottom of my robe and placed it on the floor at right angles to the wall. Very slowly, I put my hands flat on the wall and followed it with the uncertainty of a blind man. I hoped that in this way I would find my point of departure when I completed the circuit. However, I had not counted on the size of the dungeon or my own weakness. The ground was moist and slippery. I staggered and groped my way for some time, and then I stumbled and fell. I did not have the strength to stand up again, and I fell asleep. When I woke, I found a loaf of bread and a jug of water next to me. I ate the bread in seconds, but drank the water more slowly. I resumed my tour around the prison. After what seemed an eternity, I found the fragment of cloth on the ground. Until the moment I fell, I had counted 52 paces. Now I counted 48 more before I found the cloth. This meant that my cell was 100 paces around. However, with the many angles in the wall, I could not guess the shape of the room. Curiosity made me continue my exploration, though there was no real reason to do so. I left the wall, and I decided to try and walk across the cell. At first, I moved very cautiously, because the floor was slimy and seemed dangerous. I moved in as direct a line as possible, and had advanced 10 or 12 paces when the bottom of my robe got caught between my legs. I fell. I quickly realized that something was very wrong. My chin rested on the floor of the prison, but my lips and forehead touched nothing. My forehead was cold and damp, and I could smell decayed fungus. I put out my hand. To my horror, I found that I had fallen at the very edge of a pit. I had no idea how big it was, so I broke off a small fragment of stone and dropped it into the abyss in order to find out. I listened for many long seconds, and finally there came the sound of stone hitting water, followed by echoes. At the same time, there was a noise like a door closing and a sudden faint glimmer of light over my head. I saw clearly the death they had planned for me, which I had escaped for now. One more step before my fall would have been my end. Strangely, the death I had avoided was the kind I always believed happened only in stories. Something invented to make people fear the Inquisition. For the Inquisition's victims, there was the choice of death by the worst physical agonies or death with terrible mental horrors. I had been given the second choice. My nerves were torn to pieces because of my suffering, and I trembled at the sound of my own voice. I had become the perfect subject for the tortures they wanted to inflict on me. I was shaking. I groped my way back to the wall. I preferred to die there rather than risk the terror of the pit. I imagined there were more pits in the dungeon. If I had been in a different state of mind, I might have had the courage to end my misery immediately and throw myself into the abyss. But I was now the worst of cowards. A whirlwind of thoughts kept me awake for what seemed a long time. I managed to fall into a troubled sleep, and once again there was a loaf of bread and a jug of water next to me when I awoke. I was so thirsty that I drank the entire jug immediately. The water must have had something in it, because from the moment I finished drinking, I could not keep my eyes open. I slept some more, a sleep like death. I do not know how long I slept, but when I opened my eyes, I could see the objects around me for the first time. The light was strange and eerie, but at least now I could see the size and shape of my prison. I had completely miscalculated the size of the room. The entire circumference of the walls was no more than 75 feet. This error disturbed me, and I tried to discover the reason for it. Of course. In my first attempt at exploring the dungeon, I counted 52 paces. Then I fell. I must have landed on top of the fragment of cloth. When I woke up, I continued walking. This meant I had completed 2 circuits of the walls, but thought I had walked around only once. I had also been wrong about the shape of the dungeon. I found many angles when I felt my way around the walls, but the effect of total darkness plays games with the mind, so that I exaggerated these angles. They were no more than small irregularities in the walls. In fact, the prison room was square. Also, what I had thought was stone was iron. Iron in enormous plates which gave the impression of bricks in the wall. The entire surface of this metallic cell was covered in figures of wild and angry demons, skeletal forms, and other even more terrifying images. The floor was stone. In the center was the circular pit, the only pit in the dungeon. I saw all this with great difficulty, because my situation had changed while I was sleeping. I now lay on my back on a low wooden bed. I was securely tied by a long leather strap. I could move only my head and left arm from the elbow down. At least I could feed myself from a plate on the floor, but the water jug was gone, and I was terribly thirsty again. This was my torturer's objective, because the food on the plate was heavily spiced. I looked up at the ceiling 30 or 40 feet above me. Like the walls, it was metal. A figure painted on one of the panels caught my eye. It was the figure of time, holding what looked like a huge pendulum, like those we see on antique clocks. Something strange about the figure drew my attention. As I looked, I thought I saw the pendulum move a little. Seconds later, it moved again, very slowly. I watched for some minutes, half in fear and half in wonder. Then, tired by the effort, I looked around my cell. A slight noise suddenly attracted my attention, and I saw several enormous rats run across the floor. The rats came from the pit. While I watched, they crawled out. 1, 2. Soon there were too many to count. They all came towards me, tempted by the smell of meat on the plate beside me. It took all my strength to keep them away. Perhaps half an hour passed before I looked up again. What I saw confused and amazed me. The movement of the pendulum had increased by almost 3 feet. It was moving much faster now. It had descended somewhat, and I could see that the edge of the pendulum was a semicircle of steel about 1 foot long. Even from this distance I could see that it was sharp, sharp as a razor. Hanging from an iron pole attached to a panel above me, it looked very, very heavy. More frightening still, I could hear it hiss as it swung through the air. I no longer had any doubt about the death my torturers planned for me. The agents of the Inquisition knew I had escaped the horrors of the pit. Now a different death waited for me as the pendulum swung closer and closer. I need not describe the agony of those long, terrible hours after I realized what the pendulum could do. I counted the swings of the pendulum, right to left, to right, as it came closer, little by little. It felt as though days had passed. I began to feel the air moving. The pendulum swung closer to me. The smell of steel reached me. I prayed over and over that death would come quickly to stop my agony. I became frantic. I tried to force my body up towards the knife edge. I would do anything to end this misery. Then, suddenly, I became quiet and calm. I smiled up at the glittering death, like a child who was looking at a shiny bauble. I think it was then that reason left me completely. I needed food. I craved any nourishment, and I ate a small portion of the meat left over by the rats. I suffered even greater agonies from the terrible thirst which followed. But as I ate the meat, a half-formed idea entered my mind, an idea which gave me hope. What right had I to hope? The idea was almost concrete when it disappeared. I knew the swing of the pendulum came at right angles to my body, and that the crescent was designed to cut across my heart. First, it would have to cut through my robe. I began to think I could stop the pendulum there. I imagined the sound the pendulum would make as it cut the cloth. I thought and thought until I almost believed it was going to happen. I laughed and cried in turns as I moved from blind hope to despair. The pendulum was very close to me, and I struggled furiously to free my left arm. If I could break the strap holding my arm, I could stop the pendulum. But deep inside myself, I knew it would be easier to stop an avalanche than this swinging, deathly steel. I gasped and struggled at each swing. My eyes followed the blade as it went up, then I closed them as it descended. Death would be a relief, but hope made me shrink away from the blade, causing all of my nerves to vibrate. Hope triumphs during torture and whispers to those condemned to death, even in the dungeons of the Inquisition. I knew that 10 or 12 swings would bring the steel into contact with my robe. With this observation, I suddenly felt the total calm of complete despair. For the first time in many hours, or perhaps days, I thought. I had been obsessed with the idea that the blade must cut my robe first, but now I realized that the strap tying me down was simply that, one long strap. The first swing of the blade across any part of the strap would free me. I would be able to unwind it with my left hand and escape the pendulum's blade. But I knew the steel would be too close, and the smallest struggle would mean death. Sad to find my last faint hope frustrated, I raised my head and looked down at my body. I should have known. The strap was wound around me in all directions except in the path of the blade. As soon as I dropped my head back onto its wooden pillow, my mind flashed to my incomplete idea, the idea that had given me hope. The idea was now concrete, though it was weak and only half sane. With the nervous energy of despair, I attempted its execution. You must understand that for many hours the area around me had been covered with rats. They were wild, bold, and hungry. Hundreds of red eyes watched and waited for me to stop moving. What food, I thought, have they been accustomed to in the pit? Perhaps it was better that I did not try to imagine the answer to that question. They had eaten almost all the meat on the plate next to me, in spite of my efforts to stop them. I had fallen into an automatic waving motion with my left hand over the plate. In their eagerness, the vermin frequently bit into my fingers. Now I began to rub the strap wherever I could reach it with the oily juice remaining on the plate. When I finished, I raised my hand from the floor and lay still. Suddenly, all movement ceased. At first, the ravenous animals were confused and terrified. A moment later, one or two jumped up onto the wooden bed. This seemed to be a signal. Hundreds of rats leapt onto me. I lay still. Avoiding the swinging pendulum, they ran over my throat, their cold lips looking for my own. They ran over me and started to bite at the strap. I could hardly breathe from the weight of so many rats. Disgust choked me, and I thought that I would faint again or begin to struggle and scream. Yet one more minute, and I felt that this torture would end. Suddenly, I could see the strap start to move. I knew that they had eaten through it. Patience. That was what I needed. I had to live with this for only a few more seconds. With greater determination, I lay still. I was not wrong. I had not suffered in vain. I was free. The strap was torn and no longer held me down, but the pendulum pressed on my chest. It had already cut my robe. Twice it swung, and a sharp sense of pain shot through every nerve. The moment of escape had arrived. At a wave of my hand, the rats ran away. With a steady, slow, sideways movement, I lowered myself from the bed and out of reach of the deathly blade. For the moment, at least, I was free. Free, but in the hands of the Inquisition. I had only just moved from the wooden bed when the motion of the pendulum stopped. I saw it go quickly upwards, pulled by some invisible force, and it disappeared into the ceiling. This was a lesson which I took to heart. They were watching every move I made. Free? How blind I was! I had only escaped death in one form to be subjected to a new and different torture. With that thought, I looked nervously around the walls of my cell. Something had changed. I did not know exactly what it was, but something was different. Desperately, I looked around and above me. Then I saw. The figures on the walls were now clearer, and their colours were more vivid. Demon eyes glared at me from the walls, shining with the red glow of fire. They were so real that I could not force myself to ignore them. The smell, too, was very, very real. It was the smell of heated iron. The red of the figures on the walls became deeper and deeper. I gasped for breath. There was no doubt about my torturer's new objective. Trembling, I shrank from the glowing metal of the walls towards the centre of the cell, towards the coolness of the pit. I looked down into the hole, and in the dull light from the roof, I saw what was below. For a moment, my spirit refused to understand, but the meaning forced its way into my brain, into my soul. And what horror! Now I knew. But the horror! Any horror but this! With a shout of despair, I ran from the edge, my face in my hands, crying desperately and bitterly. The heat rapidly increased, and again I looked up. I trembled as though I had a violent fever. There was another change in the cell. The shape had altered again. The walls had moved in towards the centre. The square had become a rectangle. I escaped twice, and now my torturers were impatient. The walls moved with a low, rumbling sound. I wanted to hold them to me and find peace. I could take no more horror. Death, I cried. Any death but that of the pit. Fool! I should have known they wanted to force me into the pit. Could I resist the heat of the walls? Could I stop them from pushing me to the edge and down into the hole? The room became narrower and narrower. The walls pressed me towards the centre. There was nothing. Nothing I could do to stop them. Finally, only an inch remained on the floor of the prison. My burning, suffering body writhed against the red-hot walls. I struggled no more, but the agony of my soul escaped in one loud, long, final scream of despair. I felt myself lose balance on the edge of the pit. I closed my eyes. There were voices. There was a loud blast of many trumpets. There was a violent noise, like a thousand thunders. The fiery walls moved back, and an outstretched arm caught my hand as I fell fainting towards the abyss. It was the arm of General LaSalle. The French army had entered Toledo. The Inquisition was in the hands of its enemies.